Good morning. I am Carrie Swanson, and I am usually hidden away upstairs in the nursery. But since Pastor Scott is out of town this weekend, continuing in the celebration of his daughter and son-in-law in a lot of snow, I was asked to preach. And because I loved camp, I said, yeah, I'll do it. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So in total, I've been to over a dozen camps, and that's camps I've attended and camps I've had to attend because both of my parents were counselors, and they couldn't just leave me at home, which I was okay with going to camp again. And so, and I've also worked at a camp, and I've deaned at a camp, and so when you're dean at a camp, you're given some parameters by the conference. They have a yearly theme, and this year the Dakotas Conference has picked the curriculum of Beyond Belief. So the question becomes, what do you believe? It's a question I tend to ask myself more often than not. The word keeps changing, the world keeps changing, and I believe in the importance of asking those questions. What do I believe? With the coming of age, I had to figure out what I believed politically. I had to figure out what I believed in my faith. I had to figure out whether I still believe in the monsters under the bed. In preparation for this sermon, I looked into a number of different things, trying to find inspiration. I knew I wanted to talk about camps because how can you not? And the importance of camps for me, but I've never been good about talking about myself or telling of my experience for any length of time. It's pretty torturous and for me and maybe for you too. And so in doing my research, like any good millennial, I Googled the phrase and stumbled. The number two that came up was a sci-fi show called Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction. The first season is narrated by James Brolin. It's one of those shows that's just, oh, it's terrible and it's wonderful all at the same time. There's suspense and mystery and terrible puns that introduce each story. And it's a classic in my head. I've seen two episodes. I don't know if that can qualify me as saying it's a classic or not. And it lasted for four seasons, and each episode is introduced like this. Let's see if I can get the mystery deep voice going. We live in a world where the real and the unreal live side by side, where substance is disguised as illusion, and the only explanations are unexplainable. Can you separate truth from fantasy? To do so, you must break through the web of your experience and open your mind to the things beyond belief. It sounds hokey. I get it, I know, but I had to watch it anyways. I had no idea what I was getting into when I watched the first episode, and each episode is set up the same. It's an hour-long show that tells five different stories, and and all of these stories are there's supernatural, or they're highly coincidental, or there's unbelievable, or beyond belief. And out of those five stories, three of them are true, and two of them are fiction. And you don't know, you have to stick with it the whole time in order to find out which ones are real and which ones are fake. It's nice that at the end of the program, you know for certain what is fact and what is fiction. Even if you don't believe in ghosts or paranormal elements, you can passively agree that these stories are based on the experiences of other people. You can trust that the researchers of the show did their job well enough. Or, if you're skeptical, you could fact-check them and not believe everything you see on TV. I found the Bible stories today from the Message Translation. For those of you who don't know, the Message Translation is the Bible, in which is paraphrased text. So a lot of the language is everyday language. And I really enjoyed reading that translation. And in the text from Matthew, we see a miracle. Jesus and his disciples are barely out of the boat, and they are confronted with a man who cannot walk. Jesus hardly looks at the man. The Message states, Jesus, impressed by their bold belief, said to the paraplegic, "Cheer up, son, I forgive your sins." In just the previous chapter, we see a number of miracles being performed. He heals a leper, he heals a man from a distance, doesn't even see him, and he just says, "You're healed." He calms a storm and sends a legion, thousands of demons, into a bunch of pigs. Jesus has been traveling from shore to shore, visiting towns and participating in the supernatural. By definition, supernatural is something beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature. Jesus' life was made up of moments that are beyond belief, actions that if we had heard about them from any other source, we would not believe them or we would want to fact-check them ourselves. In Corinthians, in the first few verses of chapter 15, we hear from Paul, "Friends, let me go over the message with you one final time. This message that I proclaimed and that you have made your own. This message on which you took your stand and by which your life has been saved. I'm assuming now that your belief was the real thing and by which your life has been saved." "I am assuming now that your belief was the real thing and not a passing fancy, and that you're in it for good and holding fast." Paul is writing to a church and making sure that this Jesus movement, this Christ thing, is theirs, and they are taking ownership of their own beliefs. Paul can write until his hand cramps up and he can't hold a pencil anymore, but if they don't believe, it doesn't matter. The words don't matter. If they don't move beyond what Paul has taught them, their lives become stagnant. They need to move beyond. The resurrection is important. Many of you here were here 2 weeks ago when we celebrated the resurrection of Christ, Easter. Further in the chapter, Paul continues to explain the importance of the resurrection. If you became believers because you trusted the proclamation that Christ is alive, risen from the dead, how can you let people say that there is no such thing as a resurrection? If there's no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything you've been told is smoke and mirrors, and everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. If we cannot believe in the resurrection, in the stories of Christ, the stories of Christ are smoke and mirrors, magic tricks. If we cannot believe in the resurrection, the miracles that Jesus performed are no better than the stories on the Sci-Fi Channel. In Greek, the word most translated to belief is pistuio. One resource defines it as something one thinks to be true, to be persuaded, to place confidence in. I would argue that for me, belief isn't the hard part. I have always found believing to be the fun part. Believing in fairies and elves and Santa, it's fun. It's fun to believe. It's going beyond the belief. It's learning and trusting in the things that seem impossible. It's doing the work of your belief that is the hard part. Part of the plug for the camp theme this year asks the question, what if God is bigger than you imagined? Beyond Belief invites campers to ask the big questions about God and to explore how God can be seen in the vastness of creation, the power of community, and even their own hearts. They're looking to explore beyond one's initial beliefs. They're looking beyond. I personally have a terrible memory. I was looking through pictures this last week and came across what has to be my first time at camp. I'm leaning up against a cabin, the sun's in my eyes, there's a former church member who's standing by my side, she has a bowl cut. We're squinting, and we look like we're smiling, or we would be smiling if the sun wasn't in our eyes. I wish I could tell you about that first experience of camp, but camp for me wasn't just a one-time event. It was a yearly tradition. I went to camp every year it was available to me, and many of the summers I spent a week at Storm Mountain, our camp just outside of Rapid City. In high school, I attended Lake Ponset for 4 years, and in college, I worked at Lake Ponset for 3. Camp is important to me. Camp is important to many people in this congregation, young and old alike. I am not the only one here today with stories of campfires and God moments and youthful idiocy. It was a game of extreme spoons, a volleyball court, a hose. It was a whole ordeal, but nobody was hurt. So, I mean, there's that. Camp can ignite you in a way few other experiences can replicate. Church camp places you in a community of similar people with similar questions and similar doubts about God and the community of Christian believers. One of the things that is so amazing about this church is that they pay for half of the price of early bird registration, and everybody can find a camp that they enjoy. There are camps for people who like hiking and fishing, for grandparents and grandchildren, youth who like Star Wars, youth who like Harry Potter, photography, there's family camps, and so much more. All of these camps are great experiences, no matter your age. There are even three different campsites that are available in North and South Dakota. Storm Mountain, that I mentioned earlier, which is outside of Rapid, Lake Ponset by Arlington, close to Watertown and Brookings, Wesley Acres by Daisy, North Dakota, or you may be more familiar with Valley City. And shameless plug aside, camps are a place to grow. Camps are places apart where all individuals may experience God's love and grace and grow in discipleship. When Jesus healed the paralyzed man in the verse today, Jesus didn't know or care about his history, his faith background thus far. Jesus was impressed by his bold belief. Jesus forgave the man and told him to get up and walk. Camp offers that same acceptance. They do not care what your history is, what your faith background might be. They're a place to explore your beliefs, whether it is bold or not. I can tell you unequivocally that camp changed my life. Camp was a space where I could learn about the resurrection. Like Paul says, this message that I have proclaimed and you have made your own. Belief is nothing. The resurrection is nothing unless you have made it your own. Camp for me was a place where the resurrection found meaning, and my family's beliefs blossomed and grew and changed into my own. The stories of the Bible were no longer this mix and match of fact or fiction. It is a story. It is a history. It is a living document. According to tradition, the Apostles' Creed was written in a couple of centuries after the death and resurrection of Jesus, some even dating it to 150 AD. And it is believed to have been written by the apostles under the influence of the Holy Spirit. In the Methodist Church, it is most often said during the sacrament of baptism. It is a statement of beliefs. It is our way of telling the family and the newly baptized that we are a people of beliefs. We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. We believe that on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to love, to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Catholic Church. We believe in the communion of saints. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe in the life everlasting. This is what we believe. So what is just beyond it? We may say it during baptisms or reaffirmations of faith, but how can we as a people of faith go beyond the words? In 2 weeks, our church will be celebrating a service Sunday in which we are going out into the church community and into the community at large to live beyond our beliefs. This summer, there are a plethora of camping opportunities where kids and youth and adults can learn beyond their beliefs, to be bold in their beliefs like the paralyzed man, and to have their belief be the real thing and not some passing fancy, that you're in this for good and holding fast like those in Corinth. May we all be a people who can learn to live beyond our beliefs. May we be a people who can see the real and the unreal side by side. May we be a people who break through the webs of our experience and open our minds to the works of Jesus. May we be a people who live beyond our creeds. May we be a people who live beyond our beliefs. Amen.